My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. He's James Hamm. James Hamm of the Kings Beat. Subscribe to the Kings Beat at thekingsbeat.com and the Kings Beat podcast wherever you get your podcasts. That's with James, Sean Cunningham of Fox 40, and Brendan Nunes as well. Want to shout out everybody, because D'Lo and Casey coming up at noon. Want to shout out everybody who went out to D'Lo and Casey's watch party last night.
Yeah.
Down at Bar West in Midtown. The vibe looked unreal. I could not be in the building, but I saw some photos, saw some video. Looked like a really, really great time. A ton of people showed out. So appreciate everybody who was there supporting D'Lo, KC, and Jesse at Bar West down in Midtown for the Sweet 16 watch party. Sponsored by Michelob Ultra Superior Light Beer. Want to remind everybody that Saturday, 3 o'clock, James and I are going to be out at Player Sports Pub and Grill. That's at 4060 Sunrise Boulevard in Fair Oaks for a little Elite Eight watch party. James and I will be there. Charlie's going to be there as well, sources say. Going to be giving away some swag. Might have some exclusive Insiders hoodies to give away.
Oh.
So hopefully see you all there. You don't have to stay the whole time. You don't even have to like basketball. Just come say what's up. Have something to eat. Have something to drink.
Yeah.
And we'll have a great time kicking it. And again, thanks everybody who went to the D'Lo and KC watch party last night. It looked incredible. Mm-hmm. Kings Mavs tonight at Golden 1 Center. That's, man, what a couple of days. You can go to Kings Mavs, huge game at G1C, should be a playoff atmosphere.
Yep.
And then you can go home, get a little rest, head back to Player Sports Pub and Grill.
That's right.
Hang out, watch some Elite Eight basketball.
And then if you make
what
it out,
weekend.
I think on Sunday, if you make it out to the Kings Utah Jazz game, it's Hello Kitty Bag Day. It's I guess it's a Hot Topic thing. Everyone is excited. It's tickets are
bro
expensive and going fast.
I'm gonna hear it tonight from my wife on why we didn't go to that game instead.
Okay, if somehow I am there and somehow I have access to get you,
you
a
procure one
Hello Kitty bag, I will.
Please.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thanks. Or I might just be coming up to the game Sunday.
Okay. You might just have to roll up now.
I'd have to pull up. Huge game tonight. Before we look at that Kings-Jazz game, we got to figure out this Kings-Mavs game first, because the Kings did not play well on Tuesday. They lost that game by 36 points. I don't expect them to lose by 36 tonight, but I can't tell you whether I think they're going to win or lose. I have no idea. Let's get into some keys to victory, though, and figure out how the Kings can actually go about winning. James, why don't you give us your first key to a Sacramento Kings victory tonight against the Dallas Mavericks?
Feed Domas. Feed him. Feed him. I need 14 shots. I need him to abuse Gafford and abuse Derek Lively. He has to be a force. If you know, hit a three, do whatever, just get involved and be active, and make sure that he is a focal point. Again, don't lose your way in this one.
Yeah, feed him, and then he needs to shoot it.
Yeah,
that is what I and I'm with you. I know you got to run your offense, I know you got to do all those things, but get him in the post and let him go to work. I know it's different. I know it's not the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
but that is an effective way to get Domantas Sabonis to score the basketball, and he is the best passer on the team and will find open threes. It is just...
Yep. That's it.
The Domantas Sabonis 6 field goal attempt games really just grind my gears. Number one for me,
yep.
Spray threes.
Spray them.
Spray them, baby. You're 5 of 10 on spray threes in the first half on Tuesday, 1 of 4 in the second half. It's not a coincidence that they got smoked in the second half, attempting just 4 sprays.
I think, Kyle, what you're saying is just go full Kelly Oubre, and you get a spray 3, and you get a spray 3, and you get a spray 3.
$50,000 fine for Kelly Oubre.
Good for Kelly Oof. Oubre. He went full Oprah.
Yeah.
He did.
Gave out B words.
Yeah, he was handing out B words like Oprah hands out cars.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
what's your second key?
Adjust to the way that Dallas defended De'Aaron Fox.
Mm.
They picked him up full court.
Yeah.
Make the adjustment. Somebody go out there and lay one of those guys out with a screen. Just Fox, run as fast as you can while one of those guys is chasing, and Alex Len, you stand in there and drop that dude.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do it again. They won't. And it'll put the fear of Jeebus in them, and they'll avoid tracking him the entire game like that.
Do the Kings have a player who would be willing to do that?
Trey Lyles, but he's not. Like,
right.
He's
that's
out.
Do they have somebody active who would do no. who would go do that?
Probably not.
Yeah. That's my big concern there. Man, but I'm with you. You can't play offense the same way you did Tuesday.
No,
just got to do something different. And maybe it is Alex Len. Maybe it is Domas. Just go set a screen.
Somebody crush him.
Just go up there. Even if you got to take a little foul, make it a little moving screen.
Yeah,
take a foul. That's fine. You got 6 of them.
Yeah, I want to hear like a collective groan from the crowd. Like, oh,
yeah,
like, oh, that hurt.
Yeah,
yeah, it hurt like the time that every single one of these guys slapped Domas in the head multiple times.
Yeah.
How about
so
that?
You just move over, give him a little moving screen. I'm not saying elbow him, nothing dirty.
I'm not saying hurt somebody.
Make
him feel you, Kyle.
Right, just a little moving screen. And then when you get whistled, turn around with your palms up. Like, I didn't know how what do I do? What do I do? Point at the screen like, oh, look. Look, hey, review it. Review it. Purposely throwing a moving screen and then calling for a review when you get called. So
and then
funny.
Mike acting like he's going to do it. Like,
oh, do I do? Oh,
should we do it? Should we
no,
do it?
Oh, no.
I'm down for this entire scene.
Number two, we talked about this earlier, and I think it's a great point you made. Don't try and out Luka and Kyrie.
Please.
That's their offense. That's what they are built around. They are built around those two players cooking and passing out of double teams and making another extra pass for a wide open three. That's their offense. That's not the Kings' offense.
Nope.
I think Malik Monk is very good. I think De'Aaron Fox is very good. I think Domantas Sabonis is very good. The Kings' offense is not its most effective when they're playing that style. It's that easy.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, number three.
Where are we?
Number three.
Malik Monk has to step up. I mean, just straight up. I know Malik is trying to get through like a little downturn.
Yeah.
He needs to figure it out. Again, what is he? We say 3 for 29 from three over his last 6 games.
Yeah.
Like the Kings need Malik Monk to be like, he needs to go full playoff Malik here.
Yeah. Let's talk about Malik Monk briefly. You mentioned his shooting splits earlier over his last 10, 15, 20 games. They're all bad. Mm-hmm. Malik Monk's threes and three-point attempts since March 18th. So 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
1 for 6, 1 for 7, 1 for 7, 0 for 2, 0 for 5, 0 for 2. Before that, 3 for 9, 1 for 4, 3 for 8, 2 for 8, 2 for 7. You have to go back to March 6th to find a day where he shot better than 37% from three.
Mm.
And he went 3 for 5.
Okay. Yeah, they need him to come out firing. Then he's got to hit.
So due to go like 6 for 8.
Yeah, they need a big night from him. And like, look, you can't be one dimensional. It can't just be him. It's got to be everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So this is it's a good team. This is a very good team that you're up against.
Now that I've said he's due, he's going to go 0 for 7 again. Yeah, sorry, guys.
You jinxed it.
Yep, I did. Number 3. Don't let PJ Washington get wide open. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a notorious Kings killer.
Yeah, just get a hand up.
Yeah.
I know it's the extra pass. I know that's what they want. Luka doubles and they get, but just maybe just stay over there with him.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I mean, you can't leave the wide open shooters because, like, look, I don't think that he qualifies as one of the hot guys that Mike always talks about as far as the shooters.
Mm-hmm.
But
he is when he's 4 for 6.
Yeah, but what is his season average? And I think that the 30, idea.
31%.
Yeah, so the idea coming into that game was to say, hey, if PJ Washington beats you, he beats you. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. Like, you kept trying to double Luka and Kyrie, and then those extra guys went crazy.
Oh, PJ Washington had 13 rebounds.
13.
Oh, my God.
Whew.
Yeah, that's kind of the big, you know, PJ Washington specifically, he went 4 for 6 from three,
mm-hmm.
1 for 5 on all his other shots. You can't let him go for 14. You can't let Tim Hardaway Jr. add 22.
Yep.
Those are the ones you gotta that are going to kill you.
Yep.
If Luka and Kyrie go for 52 combined, you live with it. It's the other stuff that can't happen. But like we've talked about a million times with Tuesday's game, I think offense was a little bit bigger problem for the Kings than defense on Tuesday night. All right. What else is going on around the league tonight that the Kings should care about? And the thing going on in the NBA right now that doesn't matter as much to the Kings, but is still super interesting that you should be watching. We'll tell you all about it next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
A surprise D'Lo appearance on the stream. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. Everything okay with your car?
Yeah. My car's fine. His car was not.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he had some car issues. So, and I forgot this in here.
The guy. Oh. So the guy doing work on your car had trouble with his car.
Yeah. Yeah. And it,
never a good sign.
No, it runs all the heat guns and stuff. So,
okay.
So we're all right. We'll get tinted on Monday.
All right. Very good. Kings obviously tonight facing the Mavs, but the Kings need to win. Like, that is priority number one. But there's some other stuff going around the NBA that the Kings need to be paying attention to as well, because they are now at the point where, with the Lakers, what are the Lakers? 2 games back in the loss column?
Yeah.
The Lakers 2 back in the loss column. The Lakers are at the Pacers tonight. If the Kings lose and the Lakers win, now we're in the danger zone. Now Katrina talked about earlier, every game's must win. I think, you lose tonight, it's fine. But from that point forward, it'd be really tough to feel good about a loss the rest of the way.
It's funny, we've kind of ignored the Lakers as a potential threat.
Yeah.
And even looked at the Clippers as, like, can you catch the Clippers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Lakers have the 24th most difficult schedule remaining at a 468 win percentage against.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, they got a bunch of easy games.
Yeah,
and the Kings, you know, they still have Washington, they have Toronto, they have the Grizzlies, they have the Nets on the schedule. And even their difficult games, they've got one against the T-Wolves, one against the Pelicans, one against the Cavs, but then the Pacers and the Warriors. Like, they have a much easier schedule down the stretch than the Kings do. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. Like, the Kings are going to have to, if they want to avoid the play-in, if they want to avoid a road play-in game.
Boy.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk about that, Kyle. If I got to fly to LA for a play-in game, You might have to go solo one day or something.
That's fine. We can work around that.
We can figure it out.
Lakers at Pacers. So everybody in black and purple is also a big Pacers fan tonight. Mm-hmm. The Clippers are at the Magic. And this is a lot of good news because that game in Indiana, not going to be an easy one for LA. The Clippers have to go play an Orlando team that I think probably matches up pretty well with them. So the Clippers going across the country to face the Magic. And then you have the Suns, who are currently the 7th seed and tied with the Kings in the loss column. A half game up on them in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
They are at the Thunder. And the Thunder coming off a tough loss to Houston.
Mm.
So there's a very, very real chance that LA, both LA teams and Phoenix lose tonight.
Yeah, but every time we feel that way, all of
everybody
them win.
Wins.
Everybody wins, and you're like, oh, womp, womp.
No, I'm just, no doubt. And they could definitely all win. Those are not all impossible games.
Yeah.
But I like that much better if you're Sacramento, where you're going, hey, there's a chance to win and gain ground on at least one of these teams here.
Mm-hmm.
Or you figure at least one of them, maybe two, maybe all three. That is so much better than, yeah, the Lakers are at home against Charlotte and the Clippers are at home, or I guess not at home, and the Clippers are in Detroit and, you know, it's just, and the Suns are playing the Wizards.
Yeah.
It's just better than that.
Got some
tough games at least.
Yeah, no, that's true. Crazy, there's a lot of good games on the basketball schedule tonight because you do have the Timberwolves and Nuggets battling. Mm-hmm. And again, the top of the West is separated by what a game. You've got the Jazz and the Rockets. The Rockets are going for their 11th straight win.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk about.
Woo.
That's the non-Kings thing that Kings fans should, just basketball fans should be watching.
Yes.
Because the Rockets, 10 wins in a row, looking for number 11.
Yep.
Now, a game back of the Warriors in the standings. And the Warriors are at the Hornets tonight. The Rockets are at the Jazz. Houston looking for win number 11 in a row, trying to oust the Warriors from the number 10 seed. And that does kind of matter to the Kings a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I think it
matters. You'd way rather play whatever version of the Warriors this is than a red-hot Rockets team. If you make the play-in, because in that situation, you'd be in the play-in, and likely it means you would have lost the first one and are playing the second one.
Yeah, most likely, unless the Lakers track you down.
Nine, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the Rockets are rolling right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is the Rockets play the Jazz tonight, and then they play the Mavs on Sunday. So there's a potential for them going for their 12th straight win. And then we have they go at Timberwolves, and then you've got like the game of all games, which is that April 4th game against Golden State. Like, it's going to be wild. So, like, when you have a team that's, like, cranking like the Rockets,
mm-hmm.
like, it just adds this element to, this is why the play-in is brilliant.
Yeah, dude. I agree with you.
I mean, it's opened this door for a team that's young and took a long time to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, where can they be? Now, I don't think the Rockets are as scary without Şengün. Because it's for the Kings specifically. Like, yes, they're rolling, but against the Kings, Şengün has been a guy that has really done damage.
Mm-hmm.
And without him, I don't know that they have the same type. Like, they don't put the same fear in me. So,
yeah, no, anytime you remove a team's best player, they're not going to be as scary. But the Kings have also not seen the Rockets with this version of Jalen Green, who's scoring 48 points a game or whatever ridiculous
number it is. Yeah, something ridiculously silly.
Yeah, and it's not even, at that point, it's not even a matchup thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, hey, you have one game for your season against this team that has won 18 of its last 20.
Yeah.
That's just a scary spot to be.
No, I totally agree.
So that would be, it's not like, oh, hey, the Rockets could beat the Kings in a 7-game series. It's not that at all. It's just, I don't think, and it's not even Kings specific. I promise that every other team vying for the play-in right now is kind of like, I'd rather not see the Rockets.
Yeah, over his last 7 games, Jalen Green's averaging 33.7 points per game. 7.6
like
rebounds.
Dunking on people.
3.7 assists. He's shooting 49.4 from 3 on 11 attempts per game.
Did you see the one where he broke the dude's ankles and then looked at the dude, shot a three and then didn't look at the three as it went in.
Oh.
Like, come on, dude. He's playing with so much confidence. That's terrifying.
Yes.
That's terrifying. So, no, I think that is a West-wide thing where people are like, I'd rather, you know, all due respect to Golden State, all due respect to Steph Curry and the run that they've been on and whatever it is. You would way rather play this current version of the Warriors that is just scratching and clawing to try and get to the number 10 seed than this version of the Rockets that is on its way up, quite literally. I think that's all. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm trying to imagine what this team would look like with Şengün.
Yeah. He just turned 22, Jalen Green. Just like in February 9th, he turned 22 years old. And we're starting to see him figure it out, and that's should be scary for the West.
I kind of wonder, though, would he be doing this if Şengün was still in the lineup?
Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, you're talking about
doors moment.
A pretty slow big man in the middle of the key, very methodical. Mm-hmm. That's where Jalen Green has been doing a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, he's hitting a bunch of threes, too, but it's not just the threes. He's getting to the rack, and that's setting it up as his three-point shot as well.
Yeah, he has been so much fun to watch. If you have League Pass or you have a chance to watch the Rockets, just tap in. Just watch a quarter. They are unbelievably fun right now, and they are right on the Warriors' ass, and they are at the Jazz tonight. The Warriors are at the Hornets, so that is the non-Kings thing to watch. Of course, we'll also be keeping an eye on that Lakers at Pacers game. Clippers are at the Magic, and the Suns are at the Thunder. All of those games will be important for Sacramento, whether they win or lose, but ideally you'd see Sacramento win tonight. And hopefully gain ground on whoever is losing in those games.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot going on.
We also, just real quick, we had our friend Brendan Nunes post a picture of De'Aaron Fox's new shoe with his own logo.
Oh.
Yeah. Fox has got his own logo.
Okay. We'll have Casey Pratt for you when we get back, and we will have that logo for you when we get back on ESPN 1320. And the handoff. Good mm-hmm. Lord. Tons of stuff coming up in the final segment here on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Big night tonight for the Sacramento Kings. Big night last night in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball opening day yesterday. And it opened with a thud for the Oakland Athletics. They fell to the Cleveland Guardians 8-0 inside the Coliseum. But what we want to talk about was going on outside the Coliseum, the block party, the boycott, the protest that was going on at the in the parking lot of the Oakland Coliseum. Casey Pratt of ABC 7 was down there among the festivities, among the music and the signs and the crowds and the bacon-wrapped hot dogs. Casey, what's going on, man?
Man, I have filled my cup, so to speak, as I was just telling James in the break. It was crazy out there. It was nice. It was heartening. What's interesting to me is driving out to the Coliseum, all I could think about is maybe the last time I ever come out here for an A's opening day game. And that was really sad. It was really heavy. And to think that you could take an unmitigated fan protest with thousands of people under extremely emotional circumstances and have not one single fight, not one single arrest or police intervention, just it was all love, immaculate vibes, and everybody out there had a blast. So, again, I just can't say enough about the Oakland 68s, about Last Dive Bar, about A's fans. If you actually invest in them, they invest back in you, John Fisher.
Hmm. There we go. Casey, I think that was one of my questions. Like, how was it received when people did go into the park? If they decided to go in and watch the game and not take part in the block party outside?
Yeah, it wasn't a thing at all. Think that the fans groups wanted to really make sure they weren't trying to legislate how anybody processes their own loss in an individual way. And like I was saying, it's a really emotional thing, maybe going to your last ever opening day for the Oakland A's. And they didn't want to tell people you can't go inside or you're a scab, because I mean, like, everyone processes this differently. Like, it's Stephen Vogt's first ever game as a manager. Everyone loves Stephen Vogt in Oakland. If you wanted to be in the Coliseum and see that, then by all means, you absolutely should have been in the Coliseum to see that. If you wanted to see Zach Geloff's first ever opening day start, absolutely, you should be in the Coliseum to see it. Like, if your family, your kids, if it's a tradition you've done year after year after year, no one should be trying to take that from you. And so the fan group said, hey, look, we're going to put together an amazing thing in the parking lot. We'd love you to stay out here with us. But if you want to go inside, go ahead. Have fun, man. It's up to you. So,
talking with Casey Pratt, ABC 7 out there in the Bay Area. He was on the scene last night at the Oakland Coliseum for both the block party, the boycott going on outside the stadium in the parking lot, and he was also inside the stadium checking out what was going on the field. Casey, I mean this genuinely, not like as a joke, or we're trying to. I really am genuinely curious. Were there more people inside or outside?
So it's really hard to gauge, to be truthful, because sure, I know the reverse boycott, everybody was really condensed to one area.
Mm-hmm.
At this protest, I was noting, like, oh, it doesn't seem as crowded as the boycott. And I was talking to fans saying that, and some of them are like, no, look, if you go from here all the way to that gate, it's just a sea of cars and people. And it wasn't everybody congregated in one spot, mm-hmm, like trying to get the cell flags. It was like an entire parking lot of clusters of people at their own cars doing their own little tailgates and listening to their own music or the game on the radio. So there's a bunch of people in one spot, but it actually was throughout the entire parking lot. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot larger than it seemed. Inside, I posted videos. It was cavernous. There were not a lot of people in the seats. They estimated the crowd around 13,500. That's right about in line with what the security guards were telling me before the game. I always ask, pro tip, I always ask the security guards how many people are going to be here, because they staff up for it. They always know what mm-hmm. the tickets are. They were saying it was probably around 1,300 or 13,000 to 15,000 expected. So it was right in line with what everybody expected from a security standpoint. But you saw it. It was a historically unattended opening day, which means the parking lot protest absolutely worked and went off like a smash.
Yeah, it's crazy to watch this thing unfold in like slow motion. And I think the one thing that, like going through it here in Sacramento that I hated about it is that players should be out there playing ball. But this is something that is they're being asked about all the time. And I wonder how is that working out, especially with just the lack of leadership from Dave Cabal and from John Fisher. No one is stepping up and going out in front of it and being the face of what's happening. And it's something that I thought was horrible in Sacramento. Like Paul Westphal should never have had to sit there and answer questions about relocation and about what's happening. He should have just been able to talk about basketball. How has that been for you guys, especially now that the season is starting? Do you think that that's going to be an issue?
Yes. It's pathetic. I'll say flat out pathetic. So I was inside the stadium, in the dugout, in the clubhouse, in the press box, behind the scenes, in the parking lot. I was everywhere. I didn't see John Fisher. I didn't see Dave Cabal anywhere. So what does that mean? It means there's a leadership vacuum with the A's. The people responsible for creating the cluster that they're in are nowhere to be seen. So that means Mark Kotze and the players and Stephen Vogt and anybody that actually has to show up for work, like the PR staff or the security guards or the team employees or the front office, they're all stuck there. They got to go. They have to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. So then they're the ones answering the tough questions about things they have no control over, the things that ownership are doing. So it's a complete dereliction of duty by John Fisher. It's a complete dereliction of duty by Dave Cabal. It's embarrassing. It's pathetic. It's just uncalled for. If they are going to try to do this and they're the ones calling the shots, they need to be there front and center at these events. They were there front and center at Big League Weekend in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. They had their weird orb model stadium out there. There's no reason they shouldn't have been there at opening day in Oakland when they knew full well all of the assembled media nationally, locally, everyone was going to be there. What did they do? They hid. And that's what they always do. And I will end this tangent really quickly by saying this. Like, I've been very hard on them, mm-hmm. but I have told them point blank. I even did it last week. I said, give me one reason not to bash John Fisher. I literally said that to the A's, and they could not give me one. They could not give me an answer, and they declined to give me any interviews as they always do. And that's what really gets me worked up mm-hmm. because they can't give you one reason why what they're doing is right. They literally can't. I have told them, if what you're doing is correct, if what you're doing is true, if there is a truth out there that no one is reporting, I will report it for you. I will put the truth out there if it exists. Mm-hmm. Give me a chance to tell your side of the story. I don't care if people get mad at me. I don't care what people say. If it's the truth, it's the truth. And their answer to that is always, no thanks.
Man, that's tough.
We'll pass.
Casey Pratt, ABC7 in the Bay Area, doing a great job covering the A's relocation. When we talk about, you know, you mentioned Mark Kotze and the players having to be kind of the public face of this ongoing saga for disaster for the A's, whatever this is, the ongoing relocation saga. It's been a lot of Mark Kotze. It's the players that are having to be front-facing on this because of everything you just mentioned with Dave Cavill and John Fisher, who are in charge of the move, staying behind the scenes and behind whatever veil or curtain that they choose to stay behind. What's the vibe with Kotze and the players? I'm sure it differs from person to person, but are they like, where the hell are the fans? Is it they understand where the fans are coming from? What's the vibe on that?
Yeah, they understand. They know what's going on. They understand why this is happening. They know why the stadium is empty. And it was funny. I actually mentioned to Alex Wood, who started the game. I said, like, you know, there's a whole lot of people in the parking lot watching the game, creating a ruckus and having a great time. So there's a lot more support here than you probably realize, as awkward as it feels. Mm-hmm. And he said he can't knock them at all for it. And he respects their passion. Kotze has just masterfully handled what is just an unbelievably crappy situation A's ownership has heaped on him. They get it. They know what's going on. So when people were like, well, we got to go in the stadium, I don't want to insult the players. No, the players get it. Like, look what happened. The moment Trevor May was in his retirement speech, he called these guys out. They're paying attention. I'll tell you right now, when I show up to the Oakland Coliseum, I walk up to players that I've never met before. I go, hey, Casey Pratt, nice to meet you. They go, yeah, I follow your stuff.
Come on top of it. Come on.
They know.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to sort of the ugliness. We talked about it a little bit before we got on the air, but like they very well could be coming to Sacramento for the next 3 years, days. And just where are you at with this now? And like, how have you tracked it? And has your mind changed at all about what's happening? Or are you still pretty ardently against Sacramento giving them an out?
I think this is an incredibly nuanced conversation, and I don't know how much more time you have in this interview, but there's three or four different ways I can go with this.
About 4 minutes.
I'll go with the headline worthy version of how I can go with this first, and then let's get into the nuance.
Sure.
One, my sources out here tell me it's probably about 50-50. I think it makes a lot of sense for Sacramento and the A's because I think they're going to be in the exact same amount of homes for their TV contract if they play there. Except maybe then the TV company that provides their coverage might not have to pay as much money for a product that is not drawing any ratings. So I think it's a possibility. I think it's a realistic one. I think Sacramento is an awesome market. I think Sacramento absolutely deserves Major League Baseball. I think Sacramento is great. Now, here is the real deal. All right. Sacramento right now, you might want to just clip this off. Get ready. Sacramento right now is being offered a turd sandwich by Major League Baseball. And they're saying if you don't gobble down every last morsel of this turd sandwich, then you don't deserve to be a pro sports market. They're going to put the A's, the team with the lowest payroll in all of baseball, the worst record in all of baseball last season, in your minor league park. And they're going to say if you don't show up in droves, you don't deserve baseball, right? That is an unwinnable situation, and it's an unwinnable situation for a bunch of fans that had to save their own freaking team. Kings fans are also A's fans, as you well know. They've just been through this. So to heap this upon them, to ask them to grant amnesty to John Fisher and the worst ownership group in the history of the Bay Area, I don't see how anybody out there can support it. If they promise you in Sacramento, if they promise you, you will get expansion. If they promise you, you will be a pro baseball market if you just help these guys get to Vegas, great. Awesome. Go for it, Sac. If not, they should really tell them to leap off.
Man, that's tough.
There it is.
Casey Pratt, ABC7 in the Bay Area. We really appreciate your time and really appreciate all the work you've put in to cover this. And to stay on top of it and try and hold people accountable that don't want to be held accountable. It is appreciated, I know, by me and by James and by everybody who has been following this for the last, decade plus. So yeah. Thank you so much for all you do, man.
Stunning lack of accountability from Major League Baseball and the A's. And again, I love Sac. I think Sac would be awesome as a major league market. I spent a lot of time at Sutter Health Park, and I love it there. I just don't think that anybody deserves this ownership group.
You know, Casey, someday we will have you on to not talk about this, and we'll actually get to talk about like fun things. How's that
Yeah,
sound?
I mean, I literally cover every sports team in the Bay Area. I just talk about this one all the time because someone's got to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Casey Pratt, ABC7 in the Bay Area. Thanks so much, man.
All right.
All right, much love, guys.
All right, there he goes. Casey Pratt, he was on the scene in Oakland last night. It was a wild one, and he's been doing such a great job covering that story from top to bottom, and we appreciate his time here on The Insiders.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So 50-50.
50-50.
On the A's of Sacramento. I do think that's an interesting point he makes about Major League Baseball dangling this carrot of like, oh yeah, expansion. And then if people don't come out because the team stinks and there's nobody recognizable and nothing worth watching, after halfway through year two, people are like, I don't want to go do that. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till the River Cats are back and I'll go watch them instead.
Yeah.
And then Major League Baseball is going to go, whoop, see, nope, not a Major League market, see?
Yeah, but
I could, ooh.
I have a strong feeling that fans will show up.
I hope so.
I do think if they come here, I do think fans will show up. And I mean, it's a calculated risk for sure for Sacramento.
Yeah.
But look at what happened with New Orleans. Look at what happened with OKC.
Yeah.
I mean, like when Katrina hit OKC and the Pelicans moved to,
sure,
or whatever they were called at that point, moved to Oklahoma, it proved a market and they got a team, you know, not in a great way, but, you know.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know. It's
no,
tough.
I don't disagree with that. It's just if people come out to a his game in Sacramento, and they're like, wow, I love all these players. This is such a fun team. And then they're all gone the next year. I don't know if people will deal with that. We've seen proof positive that what direction that goes.
Yeah, but when the Yankees roll through town or the Boston Red Sox roll through town and you can just pop into
and maybe
watch a like real legitimate big league club.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Let's see. Damian Barling here for the handoff. How's it going, man? I don't have your mic on. I'm so bad at this.
I learned how to do this. I press the button myself. Good, man. How are you?
Vibes are great on a Friday.
I love it. Yeah, we're vibing for 4 hours today. Well, 7 if you count KSFM.
Oh.
No.
Three to seven. Check them out. Big game tonight for the Kings.
Yeah.
Must win? I ask you because you're typically more level-headed on this.
Nah, Casey's pretty level-headed with this stuff.
No, I meant than me.
Oh. I think it depends, right? This team's going to the postseason. It's just whether are they going to the playoffs or not. It's getting it's really difficult for me to find the pathway of them getting a six if they lose tonight. I mean, the Pelicans beat the Bucks last night. Like, all of these little things about the Clippers and all of this stuff, like, you really put yourself in a difficult spot if you lose tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You are kind of back in the driver's seat, but the truth is, if the Kings win tonight, like, that's great. Like, hey, probably back to six. I think that's the way it'll shake out. They'll go from 8-6. They'll have the season series, which I think is probably something we haven't discussed enough. They'll have the season series against Dallas, and that's huge. But guess what? They play Sunday. So guess what the next biggest game of the season is? If Phoenix is continuing to win, if Dallas gets back on the right track and wins, well, guess what? Sunday, you have to win.
Yeah.
And then if it continues to shake out, hey, the Pelicans won, the Clippers won, well, guess what? When the Clippers roll around, you've got to beat the Clippers. Like, this is just a nonstop cycle that's going to happen until they've secured it or they're completely out of it. And so tonight, it's the biggest game of the season. And then Sunday, it might be the biggest game of the season. And then Tuesday, like, we're at the point where we're at single-digit games after tonight, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. So all of these have, because how close everything is, every one of these is going to carry a greater weight than the last based on what happened around the NBA scoreboard.
Yeah, we talked about it, you know, a week and a half ago, like this 8-game stretch here right now, like you're still in it. You still got a shot to go 6-2 on the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, then you've got a really good shot. If you drop this game and you drop one more, if you go 4-4, even 5-3, it's almost unacceptable in that stretch. And you're going to go back and you're going to circle that Washington game and go, what were we doing? Because it just makes it all so much more difficult. Like, they've put themselves in this situation. And the only way to get out of this situation is to go out there and win, is to take each game very, very serious and act like it's a playoff game. I think this is great for the build of the franchise.
Yeah.
To go through this.
This isn't what you said, but I don't think they didn't take Tuesday seriously.
Oh, no.
I just think they got their butt kicked.
Yeah.
We can pick, like, sometimes you get your butt kicked during a game. And I think that's ultimately
it's just
what
bad
happened.
Timing.
You just hope they make adjustments, right? And you hope that they're better tonight. And you hope that Luka and Kyrie aren't the tag team champions of the world, where one is going for 20-something in the first half and the other's going for 20-something in the second half.
Yeah.
And then you got the supporting cast, which is significantly better than they were when these teams played back in January, you know, going off and hitting a ridiculous percentage of threes.
Yeah.
So I feel like this team is playing really good basketball.
Right.
I hope they're able to get back on track tonight, especially at home. And if they lose tonight, And we start, like, because if we lose tonight, I think the conversation really is about 7-8, and then we have to keep an eye on the Los Angeles Lakers as well. Give me a road game. Give me a road game in the play-in. I'm out on a play-in game at the Golden 1 Center. Just
tanking,
give me,
for the 8 seed?
Just give me a tough game against, you know, Phoenix or whoever it might be. In the desert.
You know what the other good news about being the 8th seed is? I think there's something to this. You tank for the 8th seed, tank the first play-in game. So now you're playing in the second one. You win that one. And now you're the eighth seed. You've got four road games in every series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That might
I think
be the
that's
key.
The move.
Might be the key for Sacramento.
That's the move.
James, ask Mike about that tonight.
Oh.
Let him tell him to write that down.
All right.
We're solving problems.
He'll just like sit there like, how do we lose at home? Like, I just don't get how they're
it is
such
baffling,
a,
dude.
They're just not a great home team. Especially with the fan base. I don't know.
It's tough. They're the exact same team they were last year. Like
is shocking because they have most of the same players.
Well, the funny thing, but the thing is, like, the level that Domas is playing at,
mm-hmm.
the level that De'Aaron is playing at,
mm-hmm.
the level Malik is playing at, the increased intensity on defense. Now, that's a little bit more recent. That's not necessarily a season-long thing.
Yeah.
It's something we've seen, you know, in the last month, maybe 5 or 6 weeks. But it's, yeah, home-away splits. About the same.
About the same.
Record about the same. Like, everything is about the same. You look at Herter's pretty significant fall off. Like, there's a few things that you can point to. Of course, you've got the, you know, the Detroit games and the Charlotte games mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. But, yeah, it's the same team tracking towards potentially the same record at a much different place in the standings.
It feels like they, this year, part of the reason they didn't take this kind of proverbial leap that we thought they would is because they were good enough last year that they went into some games this year like, we'll beat this team.
Feels like they got smacked a little bit. Feels like it.
So that you'd pick Charlotte, Portland, mm-hmm. and what was the other one? Detroit and Washington. You take those four games. Yeah. Last year, they're taking those games a little more seriously. They probably win those games going away, and now we're talking about a team that's cruising to 50-plus wins.
It's tough,
like,
man.
It's that, I think it might be that simple.
Looking at that Washington game, like, Washington played well in that game. Right? Yeah. The Kings are better. Everyone knows it, but Washington played well in that game. That's a group of professional basketball players. If that's one or maybe two on the year, it's mm-hmm. like, hey.
That's
like,
a good point.
It's five, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's the fifth time that's happened.
Yeah, there's the bottom five teams in the
and
NBA.
And it's a problem you've acknowledged.
Yes.
Like, we lose to these teams. That's what made it so difficult. Like, because the Washington game, I didn't feel like there was a, I think it was Detroit, I think it was Portland, too. Like, they were going through the motions, and it's like, come on, felt like this ain't it.
I told them earlier.
I didn't feel like
that was happening with Washington.
From the opening tip, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I thought Washington played well. Good team or not?
What do you guys got on D'Lo and Casey?
You and James.
No.
More of us.
We got the insiders.
More of this. Everything insiders. That just happened, we got 4 hours of it coming up next.
We got Will Z as well, man. We're vibing out. We're having fun. We'll get ready for tonight's game.
So it's going down till 4 on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.